Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta. And we're excited about that, folks. And that's just one more sign, personal to us, but one more sign in the world that things are opening up, and we're excited about that. In the meantime, if you are put out by the experience with your bank, and maybe they've got automated voices and 1-800 numbers, and it's hard to get a live person, give Renaissance a try. My suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com, find their local office. They've got some 200 across the South ready to serve you, including the one that we set in on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta. And give them a call, and you'll find a real person there that will answer the phone and be happy to set up an appointment with you. And what I think you'll find is their Renaissance is big enough to handle most any need you can throw at them, small enough to do that in a personal way. I found that myself. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Roxanne Smithers. And Roxanne is with the law firm of Smithers and Umewabu.
There you go.
Roxanne, hey, I got, oh, that's right. I got it. I almost got it. So, we'll give me another shot at it. Roxanne, it's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, John. Thank you so much for the invitation. Very excited to be here and have a chance to chat with you.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Let's talk about your firm and how you're serving folks out there.
Certainly. So Smithers and Umewabu is a full service law firm for entrepreneurs and business owners. We focus our practice on providing outside general counsel services for that community. And so what that means is we hit the main practice areas that a business owner is going to come across or have to address in running their business and growing their business. My practice personally handles both corporate matters, so that's contract reviews and negotiations, deals, as well as dispute resolution. So everything from those scary letters that you get from lawyers all the way through jury trial and all the alternative dispute resolution processes that you can take in there as well. My partner, Wanda Umewabu, she's our secret weapon. She handles employment law, employee benefits, as well as working with a lot of our nonprofit clients on their corporate governance and 501c3 applications. So we're a real well-rounded, robust practice for our business owner clients.
Wow. Lots to unpack there, but let's just get to the bottom line with business owners, because we know how they are, right, Roxanne?
Yes.
They don't want to spend money to safeguard their business on the front end. They want to spend a few dollars in legal fees to, you know, save a whole lot of heartache and a lot of money on the back end.
Yes.
Talk about what we're getting to there, which is making sure your business is safe with legal agreements.
Exactly. So there's a couple of things that I always tell my business owners and why it's important to have some proper support services in place. That's a really well-trusted and understood CPA, someone who actually understands your business, helps you plan properly, and not just someone who prepares your taxes, because those are two very different things, okay? And legal counsel is very often an important tool and an important member of the team. Unfortunately, business owners often think that lawyers only come into place when something has gone wrong. And for that, we're always happy to help clients when they're in difficult situations, help them problem solve and get them out of the ditch. But what I really like to do and what really gets me up in the mornings and the joy of the work that we do is avoiding the ditch in the first place. Okay.
Sure.
So, we really work a lot with our clients to lay a strong foundation for their business legal foundation for the business so that they can grow. They can take advantage of opportunities that may come their way. They can get a lifeline. We saw a lot of that last year and even into this year with the epidemic, where where business owners were looking for opportunities, relief from the government, looking for grants. And if they did not have a proper framework in place for their business, the right paperwork, the right structure, they were not able to take advantage of those opportunities that were available, those lifelines. So it is very important to think about those things in advance. And even when things are great, I love when my clients call and like, we have this new business opportunity. Please help us put the structure together, because we can really help them organize a business opportunity in a way that will be most beneficial to them, that will protect them against problems in the future, limit their liability, and really help them think about some of the pieces that they might want to bring into place to make sure that it is a very successful business opportunity. So we do a lot of non-ditch, keep you out of the ditch work more than we do digging you out of the ditch, even though we can dig you out of the ditch.
Well, you can, but what I think what maybe some folks don't realize is that's not really what you want to do. I mean, you'd rather keep people out of the ditch. It's exhausting and time consuming for you as a practitioner to go through a legal process, right? With a business owner and try to defend their situation.
And most importantly for them, it takes them away from their focus, which is on their business, performing in their business, growing their business, managing their business. And so oftentimes, even when I'm helping a client sort of navigate an issue or dispute, whether they are the initiators of the dispute or they are responding to a dispute or to a claim, I don't just talk to them about just the cost from my end. I talk to them about the cost of opportunity to their business. Do they want to spend the next 9 months focused on this issue and responding to my request for documents, sitting in depositions, going to court, and thinking about the time opportunity cost of that versus, you know, a resolution or some other structure where we can quickly bring a claim to an end on either side. One of the things that I often have to tell clients when they come very passionate about an issue, and if they say to me, but it's the principal, I say, principals are wonderful. They're amazing, but they are not free and cheap. So you have to take those things into consideration when you are deciding on a path to resolve something. But what we often are able to do is in our contracting at the beginning and in our planning at the beginning, I can cut short disputes in the future. I can reduce the cost of resolving disputes. And you can often eliminate the disputes if you have a well-drafted contract that lays out the details of everyone's rights and obligations and the consequences for not performing. You can cut those issues off very early on, and it's very beneficial to clients.
You know, you anticipated one of my questions, which is resolving disputes and the strategies for resolving disputes out of court. You mentioned one, which is let's get the documents right to begin with, right?
Exactly.
But dive deeper into that question.
Well, one of the things is just having details in your contract, understanding everyone's rights and obligations. What's the subject matter? What is being exchanged? What good or services is being exchanged? The timeline for that exchange, the quantity, the quality that's being expected, and what's the compensation that is being expected? When the compensation shall be made, how much, timeline. And then important consequences if either side does not perform. Will you have a right to interest or to charge late fees if you're not paid on time? Will you have an ownership interest in the goods or the service, more important, that you're providing until your customer, your client pays, so that you have a bit of leverage there to get payment? How will disputes be handled? Do you have to go to court? Do you have to mediate beforehand? If you are working with customers and clients across state lines, where will those disputes be resolved? Are you going to decide on a specific state or a specific court where issues will be resolved? And one of the questions that I get all the time with clients, and something I'm always telling them that they want to have in their contracts, will you be able to recoup your attorney's fees and your cost if you have to take steps to enforce the contract? A lot of people assume that we have a winner-take-all system, and we do not. Generally speaking, each party is responsible for their own attorney's fees and costs associated with a dispute. And unless you have a specific provision in a contract that says, hey, I win, I get my attorney's fees back, then you don't automatically get those fees back. And there are very, very limited opportunities just under the law to get those expenses back. And that can be a real factor in whether or not someone is able to defend a claim effectively and they can fight when they know they're right, or whether they can pursue an issue even when they know they're right, if they are dealing with how am I going to handle the costs associated with that dispute.
Folks, we're here chatting with Roxanne Smithers. And Roxanne is with the law firm of Smithers and Umewabo. You know, this may seem like an obvious question, Roxanne, but I'm not sure people really know, and they think they know. What does a business attorney really do? I mean, how do you spend your day?
That's a great question. And if I can, I'll plug. We actually have one, our YouTube channel. We do videos called Notes from My Legal Pad. And I actually have a note there that talks about what you can expect in a relationship with a business attorney. And that's an important question. I think most individuals, their primary understanding of attorneys are the commercials that they see very often for personal injury attorneys. It's a very different relationship. It's always in a situation where there's been an unfortunate incident. There's a different pricing model most of the time with those circumstances. And most of the time, you're only going to encounter that type of attorney once in a lifetime. And most often, knock on wood, you never have to encounter that type of an attorney. People may also encounter a family law attorney if, unfortunately, there are issues that they have to resolve on that end, and maybe a trust and estates attorney to help them prepare a will. There's a very different relationship once you start a business and you're looking to have a business attorney. We like to have a long-standing, ongoing relationship with our clients, if possible, to sort of help usher them through the life of their business. Because it's everything from helping set up the structure properly. So on any given day, I may be setting up a business entity for a client, advising them on what type of structure they'd like to have, because there are options out there, setting that up, setting up the documents for that. I may be working with a client on, at some point they want to add business partners. They're taking on investors. And so we may talk about strategies for that, what their legal options are. And then once we decide on a framework, I may then actually prepare the documents that effectuate that investment. A client may come back and say, hey, we're growing amazingly. We want to add staff. We need help. My partner, Wando, who handles employment law, will talk to them about, okay, are you looking to add independent contractors? And what are your rights and obligations there? Are you looking to actually hire employees? Okay, well, let's talk about that process. And that's wonderful growth. A client may come and there's a problem. There's a dispute with a customer or a vendor. And we will walk them through that process. Maybe we're sending that scary lawyer demand letter. And if we've done a great contract at the beginning and for that relationship, then I've got all the tools I need in there to really put the punch to that demand. If we're not able to resolve, we may take that through the formal legal process. So those are some of the steps that we take as business lawyers. And on any given day, I can be working on some of those issues for a client.
Now, let's talk about the issue of cash and infusing cash into the business. That's obviously been a topic for a lot of folks over the last year and the pandemic. But talk about some of the options that there are for putting cash in your business.
Sure. If you are looking to financially support your own business, there are three main ways that you will financially support your own business personally. So the one that everyone thinks about when you're initially starting your business, that's going to be your investment, your capital contribution, whatever funds you set aside to launch your business and get the business going. And you're going to want to make sure that that's documented as a capital contribution. It stays in your business generally for the life of your business until there's a point where you are looking to sell or cash out your business. The other main way that individuals may infuse cash into their business, and people may have done this a fair amount last year, were through loans, where you are loaning a certain amount of money to the business for a specified period of time. You may charge nominal interest or more for that. And so that money is a temporary infusion with an expectation that your business is going to pay you back at some future date. The last, which people do most often may do on a day-to-day or monthly basis, are reimbursable expenses. And that is the most short-term sort of infusion of cash or support for your business, where you are simply using personal funds to pay an expense or to procure goods or services on behalf of your business. And then you're anticipating that your business is going to then give you that money back in pretty short order, whether that's a daily sort of reimbursement, if there's petty cash, that could be weekly, monthly, quarterly, or however you handle your accounting for your business. Now, no matter which way you personally infuse money into your business, you want to make sure you're tracking that. You're keeping documentation of those reimbursements, keeping receipts, showing when you pull the money out of your business and it's a reimbursement. You're putting money in as a loan. There should be either a loan agreement, that's the best case, or at least documentation in the business records of a loan and possible terms for that loan, when it will be repaid, if there's interest that's going to accrue on that. And then most important, obviously, you have documentation of your initial investment and any additional investments that you make in your business. Part of the reason that those are important, there are different tax implications for each of those infusions. That's one. Two, they are going to have a different impact on the overall value of your business. And that can come into play if you are looking to take on investors, if you're looking for financing for your business, or as I said, when you're planning and handling both the taxes for your tax obligations for your business, as well as your personal tax obligations.
You know, this is where the accountants and the tax and the business attorneys intersect, right?
Yes.
Right. Because when your accountant asks you about the details of that cash investment, they're going to ask you for a document, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. They're going to want to know what are the terms of their interest. They're going to want to know, okay, a listing of reimbursements, because those are business expenses, and being paid back a reimbursement from your company has a very different tax treatment than income that you pull out of your business. And so you want to make sure you distinguish between those two. And there's various strategies that can be utilized in there for tax reduction. And so that's always why I always advise my clients, make sure you have a CPA as well. If they don't, I refer them, because I know enough to know that they should talk to someone who knows more.
That is wise, folks. Roxanne Smithers is with us, and she's a co-founder and managing member of Smithers and Umewabo. So, Roxanne, let's talk a little bit about, and I think we've really kind of hammered this pretty hard, but hopefully, just in case somebody's missed the message, just, you know, having a contract that is written, talk about
yes.
that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, technically, if you and I, John, agree on something, agree to terms verbally, that is a verbal contract. So say we said today you agreed that I'm going to mail you this candle off my desk with my initials on it. I'm going to mail this to you, and then you're going to send me $5 for it, right? Mm-hmm. We have a verbal agreement. We'll ignore the fact that this is recording, because that's a whole other issue. But we have a verbal agreement.
Sure.
Now, what happens if I mail that candle to you and you decide, well, it's smaller than I thought it was, and it doesn't necessarily have a fragrance. So now I'll send her a dollar. And I go, hey, I mailed you the candle. You're supposed to pay me $5. That's what we agreed to. And you go, no, I don't recall that. I thought that we agreed to a dollar. So yes, we had a contract. And the problem with not having a written contract, how do I prove that we agreed to $5 if you don't agree and admit that that's what we agreed to? You now say it was a dollar. So I'll spend all of my time trying to prove that and may not be able to prove it. It'll come down to who can be the most dramatic and sympathetic witness in front of a judge or a jury. Now, if we have a written contract that says, I'm going to send you this candle. You're going to send me $5 by this date in, you know, exchangeable funds. We both sign it. Well, guess what? I'm in a very different position if you decide to only send me a dollar, because now it's not my word against your word. I have a written document that you sign that says, I send you this candle, you're going to give me $5. And I'm going to put in there a provision that says, if I have to pay a lawyer to get my $5, you're going to have to pay for my lawyer. So that puts me in an even more powerful position and makes the resolution of my dispute with you easier, quicker, and less expensive.
You know, as you're talking, part of it occurs to me that business owners are optimistic. They're optimistic or they wouldn't get in business. And they just expect other people to do what they say they're going to do. And yes, it's amazing when that doesn't happen, right?
There is this balance. And we understand it as well because we are business owners.
Yeah,
we're entrepreneurs as well. And to a certain extent, to be a successful entrepreneur, you do have to think positively. You have to see the horizon and look at all the possibilities that are out there in the future. And my job often as the attorney is, that's amazing. Let's run toward the horizon. But hey, let's pack an umbrella just in case it rains. And hey, if we get a little tired, you know, let's pack a lunch just in case we get hungry on the way. And hey, what if it gets a little chilly? Maybe we'll bring a jacket along. And so our job isn't to stop you from running towards the horizon. Our job is just to think about the things that you may encounter along the way and plan for them. So our goal is that you never have a dispute. Everyone understands the terms of their agreements and everyone is honorable. But just in case, there could, you know, in that same scenario, what happens if you get a bump on your head and you have amnesia and you genuinely don't remember that you agreed to pay me $5? So that's not even a situation where you have acted in an untoward way, or you decide to something happens and you put someone else in charge of your candle collection business and they don't see the value of my candle and they only want to give me a dollar. So it's not always necessarily a nefarious reason, but you have to plan. You have to plan ahead. It's why I often use the analogy of the umbrella, right? If you wait until you're being rained on to try to look for and get an umbrella, it's too late. So you bring the umbrella. You keep an umbrella in your car just in case. Mm.
For sure. Now let. You're, as a business attorney, one of the things that you do all the time is negotiate. So give us some tips on the best negotiating strategies that we can utilize.
Sure. I won't give you all of my tips.
Because, come on, Roxanne. No.
I have to keep something so that I can't, you know, they won't be used against me. But there are some general tips that you need to think about. Understanding the other side's motivation and understanding your motivation. What is your ultimate goal in any deal? If it's a deal, if it's a dispute, it can be something great. What are your priorities? And also having an idea as much as you can, what's the motivation and the priorities of the other side? And where you find alignment or complementary goals and obligations, well, that's the sweet spot where the deal can be made. And you won't really find that sweet spot, or it'll be more difficult to find that sweet spot if you don't think in advance, what are their goals and their motivations? What are my goals and motivations? And so having a clear idea of those. Understanding realistically in a negotiation that you're probably not going to get everything that you want out of the situation. It's not necessarily an even meet in the middle, because one side may have more leverage than the other side, but there's going to be some give and take. That is the nature of negotiation. So having some ideas of what you are willing to give up in order to move the deal along. I will sometimes, when we're negotiating a contract or a deal, we'll put in more things than we may ultimately need, because psychologically I know the other side's going to want to win. And so we're going to need some things to give on, right?
Sure.
So it's like if you play chess, you have to know when to sacrifice a pawn, when to sacrifice in order to get to your ultimate goal, right? You won't. You lose the match because you refuse to give up a pawn, well, you've missed the point. So you think about those things as well. Other things that it's important to think, be aware of the environment and the calendar. Oftentimes, this goes back to my days where I did actually dispute premise liability defense work. So that's property defense work for individuals. Understanding a person's motivation and those calendars, there's different times of the year where people are maybe more willing to make a deal if you are on the payer side of a dispute or of a claim. Holidays, obviously, everyone likes to have a little more cash in their pocket. Holidays,
sure.
For an end of the year. For individuals, when's their birthday? Everyone likes to have a little extra cash around their birthday. So even understanding and being aware of the calendar and outside influences on the other side can give you some leverage and opportunities in a negotiation. So just being very aware of that. Think outside the box. Be creative in your solution so that you can find the win-wins between both sides. So those are some of the key things that I always take into consideration when I'm in a negotiation. And then finally, I have a rule that I say, or a saying that I have, which is sometimes you're the hammer and sometimes you're the nail. And it's a lot easier if you realize which one you are in any given situation.
I love that. Yeah. And sometimes that's hard to admit, right? That particularly Yes. If you're the nail, if you're the hammer, it's easy to fall into that role. But if you're the nail, it's a little bit more difficult. And that's where you come Yes. In, helping people Yes. Realize which one they are, right?
Yes. Or often a good mediator, oftentimes having a disinterested third party. So you'll take a matter to mediation or have some way of getting an opinion, as it were, a second opinion from a third party. And that can often help either side figure out which one they are in the situation.
Sure. I would love it as we wrap up here, Roxanne, if you've got a success story, you know, someone you've worked with that, and you don't have to mention my name, of course, because there is confidentiality, but that maybe you could talk about them and talk about how your intervention has and your work with them has led to their success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a situation that really stands out for me is a client that had been in a dispute with their business partner, and the business partner had essentially kind of pushed them out of the business. And we had to work through the operating agreement. We had to work through the law, a lot of different factors that played into ultimately resolving that issue for the client. It included a detour through probate court because unfortunately, the business partner passed away in the midst of our dispute. So we had to bring in a lot of ancillary sort of legal practices to understand how to navigate him through that process and get an ultimate resolution to protect his long-term business goals. And so we were able to do that. It was a long road. It was a bit of a patient and sort of doggedly pursuing it role, helping him understand the cost benefit of continuing to pursue it. And me understanding a little bit of probate law. There was a lot of intrigue involved in that matter. And so for us, it brought all of our skills to bear, our drafting skills, negotiation skills, thinking outside of the box to attempt to resolve a matter, and then ultimately effective advocacy in front of a independent sort of deal maker and a mediator as well. And we were able to bring some resolution there. So that's a true success story of helping usher a client through a very difficult and complicated time so that they can come out on the other side and flourish in their new business.
Wow. Awesome work here, folks, from Roxanne Smithers. And she's with Smithers Umewabo, which is her and her partner are co-founders and managing members of the firm. Roxanne, this has been great, and really appreciate you coming on and talking about your work. I want to get to what I think is the most important question, which is for those that want to be in touch with you and learn more. Maybe you've said something that sparked a need for them. Tell them what your coordinates are.
Certainly. So one of the easiest ways to get to us is our website, which is stulawgroup.com. From there, you can get to our Facebook page under the same name, our LinkedIn page. Thanks to a wonderful marketing intern, we have an Instagram page. I cannot take credit for that, where we put up some great tips.
Awesome.
And then we spend a lot of time putting up wonderfully informative videos on our Notes from Our Legal Pad series on our YouTube channel. And everything can be reached through our website or just Googling Smithers and Umewabo.
That's awesome. Roxanne Smithers with Smithers and Umewabo. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Roxanne, for coming on.
Thanks, John. This is great.
Thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder, if you've got administrative tasks in your business that are taking you, well, I was going to say way too much time, but maybe you shouldn't be spending any time on them, or your bookkeeping, you're doing that at 11 o'clock at night. If you're doing it at all, maybe you need to outsource that. And I've got an idea for you. It involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Now you can go to officeangels.us if you're timid and want to check her out. But my suggestion is just give her a call, 770-442-9246. Tell her I sent you, and I'm sending you because I use her services. She's terrific. But she will listen to your problem and pick an angel or two to fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as needed basis. And if you've got any of those kind of needs, I think you'll be glad you got in touch with Essie. Folks, just a quick reminder that this show, North Fulton Business Radio, is on all the major podcast apps. Yep, on all of them. I haven't been stumped on one that we're not on. But North Fulton Business Radio is a search term, and here's my ask. Please give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. And it's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about our guest. Great guest that we've had on this show, like Roxanne. We're up to show, I think, 350 or so, and over the last 5 years. And we want our guests to be found by people that need their services, and that helps. So if you could give us a great review, we would appreciate it. Also, you can find us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Roxanne Smithers, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.